Thank you and be seated, please. What a great joy it is to welcome you to worship at Conyers First United Methodist Church on this rather foreboding morning. Though it may be dark and cloudy on the outside, may you find the warmth, the light, and the love of Christ here in this gathered community. If you're a guest in our presence, we are delighted that you have chosen to develop your spiritual potential with us. And it would mean a lot to me if each person would find the white connection card in the worship folder, because we're about making connections for Christ. We'd like to know of your presence. If you'd fill out the front side, circle 930 to the right of the card, so we'll be able to figure out who's in each service, and then hold on to it until the end of the service, and I'll make reference to it then. The church around the world is celebrating the feast day of Pentecost. 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead, and 10 days after he ascended into heaven, God fulfilled his great promise to pour out his present tense power, his present tense availability upon all flesh through the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that's going to be our focus today. You are welcome into the family of God made accessible to us through Christ, given us the language and the power of faith through the Holy Spirit. And my great hope is by the time you leave today, you've had a sense of the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. We're blessed now for about 7 weeks that Steve Hester has come to be our minister of music, and he has a quick announcement to make before he dashes off for a morning rehearsal. Brother Steve, welcome. Let's welcome our good man.
I'm still waiting for him to come in.
You are him.
Sing, 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 make his praise glorious. That was fun this morning. Good singing all the way around. And I want to give you the opportunity to do some more good singing as we celebrate the freedom that our country enjoys now for more than 200 years. We will be doing a patriotic musical celebration June 30th at 6 o'clock p.m. It's in preparation right now. And we've set up some extra, some special, I call them bonus rehearsals, specifically for people that want to be a part of this musical outreach event and celebration of our nation and the freedoms that God has given us through this nation. If you want to be a part of that, but you don't or aren't able to make a long-term commitment to the chancel choir, I still want you to sing. We rehearse every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, and if that presents a conflict, I still want you to sing. Go, if you're on Facebook, go to I Believe in America, the musical. That's a page I put up on Facebook, and you'll see the schedule of bonus rehearsals. We have the books ready for you. We have practiced rehearsal CDs ready for you. If you're a tenor, a bass, a soprano, an alto, or an also, we've got a part for you. We need instrumentalists, too. If you play woodwinds or brass, please let me know. We'll put you to work as we honor our country and the God who gave us these freedoms.
I don't know if you've ever experienced the power of singing with a choir of 70 or 80 voices, but you could have that opportunity. We overflow the choir loft. Steve is an outstanding teacher and inspirer, and I'd like for you to be a part of that presentation. Would you allow me to pray for all of our graduates today? Because do you remember graduating from high school and moving to college? Those are some pretty critical years. Critical years of self-discovery, critical years of deciding, will I live into the values of Christ? Will I live the high calling of Christ, or will I not? But I want to pray a hedge of protection around all of our college, our high school graduates, that as they move into their college years, they would be a real witness, a real light for Jesus Christ. So, Father, in Jesus' name, empowered by the Holy Spirit, we pray a hedge of protection upon all of our graduates as they move into the next phase of their academic life. We thank you that indeed they have studied to show themselves approved. And now, Lord, as they become freshmen and as they open up into a whole new world, I pray that you would confirm the power of Christ in their lives, to be a light in a dark place, to live the life that is worthy of the Lord. I thank you for their achievement, and I thank you for what they'll do in the future. Walk with them and guide them every day of their college life, that truly your light might shine through them. We ask this in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Just a couple of things in the worship folder before we continue worship. I so regret, because of an administrative oversight, we did not have the Wesley Woods Mother's Day offering envelopes in our worship folders last week. What a mistake we made. Since 1955, the North Georgia Conference of the Methodist Church has been pioneering geriatric care for older adults through the unique ministry of Wesley Woods near the campus of Emory University. It's one of the largest offerings we take every year. Last week, we were thanking God for our mothers and the strong women of faith in our lives that have shaped us and enabled us. I'm shocked at the number of women who come to the end of their lives and don't have enough resources to really sustain themselves. And because the Methodist Church has a heart for social justice, has a heart for helping people in need, we have the Wesley Woods Mother's Day offering that specifically helps with elder care. Would you join me in making a special gift to say thank you, God, for our moms? Thank you, God, for the strong women of faith in our lives. I can tell you that 100% of what you give will go to directly assist members of the Wesley Woods community, and I invite you to do that. Kind of afraid to make the UMCOR announcement today about the tornadoes in north central Texas as I'm looking out the window and looking like, man, we might have one down Main Street. But I'm so glad that the United Methodist Church already has in place a response agency in the midst of disaster. We call it UMCOR, United Methodist Committee on Relief. And because our apportionment giving funds the structure of UMCOR, that means when there's a disaster of any kind, Methodist people can be on the ground providing assistance. I went to college in Central Texas. I know that part of the country. And I'd like to invite you to find the UMCOR announcement on the back of your worship folder and to join me in helping alleviate the incredible loss that's taken place in Central Texas by making a gift. You can write a check, you can call toll-free and use a credit card, or, are we not trendy, you can text an immediate $10 gift immediately, and the text response is on the back of the worship folder as well. I invite you to do that. And finally, we're not just in mission beyond Conyers First. We're in mission in the heart of this great city and county. And on May 26th, the week of May 26th through June 2nd, we have the opportunity to host homeless families in our church again through the Family Promise Ministry. You've heard a lot about that, but after the worship service is a sign-up chart because we need those to help spend the night, prepare food. Help these folks who are in the process of finding real stability and strength in life through the tremendously well-crafted ministry of Family Promise to find in this place, on this campus, a hand up. And I'd like to invite you to be a part. And we have several Family Promise volunteers that will body block you as you leave the worship center until you sign up to be a part of this great ministry. What a joy it is to be in ministry together. As you prepare your morning offering, I invite the ushers to come forward because your morning offering makes ministry possible. There's a lot that we do individually. I believe in the ministry of personal evangelism. I believe in the ministry of participating in personal mission. But you know, there's a lot that we can do when we give collectively. And this morning, I invite you to share your heartbeats of love with the Lord. I thank you for keeping us strong. We have the strongest budget we've had in my 6 years here. Through these incredibly challenging financial times, you have risen to the challenge of putting Christ first and making ministry important. I thank you now for what you were doing. 20 years ago, the Bishop of the North Georgia Conference of the United Methodist Church appointed me to my second appointment, and I was thrilled by it. I became the senior minister of the First United Methodist Church of Pine Mountain, Georgia in 1993. Pine Mountain is known principally because of the incredible resort that we call Callaway Gardens. And Callaway Gardens is known for some incredible things, magnificent azaleas, butterflies, water skiing, the FSU Circus, but perhaps Callaway Gardens is known best for golf. And it was my privilege serving at the Pine Mountain First Church to have executives from Callaway Gardens and a whole lot of people who retired to Pine Mountain because they wanted to play golf. We had guys that were starters. We had women that were starters. I never knew there was such a passion among women for golf. We had several retired golf pros in the life of our church. And there was one in particular who was a great friend to me. His name was Hap. And he came to me real early in my time there and said, "Preach, I wanted to teach you to play golf." I had admired my dad for playing golf across the years, but I'd never had the opportunity. I'd never really gotten into it. Hap says, "I've got it all taken care of. I've got a set of starter clubs for you, and we're going to go out and we're going to learn. But before you get out on the golf course, I want you to read a book. And this is long before the internet. I want you to look at a videotape. Remember videotapes? And I want you to understand the principles of golf. And then we're going to go out there on the golf course together. I remember when we got to the putting green and we just began the process. And now I had learned about the proper stance. And I had learned about the funny golfer's grip. And I knew the power of the hip and the elbow and the shoulders and the fluidness of the swing. I knew about the concentration. I knew about assessing the ground so that little ball could end up in that little cup. I understood all that. But the first time I stood with my putter, I was not good. I do not flow easily. My stance and my knees didn't bend just right, and I got real frustrated. But Hap is a master coach. Hap, in the kindness and the gentility of his spirit, Hap, this great big man who loved his preacher and loved the Lord Jesus, said, "Let me show you how to do it." And he planted my feet just right. And he taught me sort of how to bounce on my knees. But I'll never forget the day that he came up right behind me. I mean, right behind me. And he wrapped his big old arms around me. And he took my left hand in his hand and my right hand in his hand. And he placed my hands on the club just right. He got me flexing my knees. He got my shoulder where it needed to be. And he walked me through the swing. I mean, he was right with me. He was overshadowing me as he helped me flow through the swing. Now at first, that didn't work real well for me. He kept saying, "Relax." Well, I don't relax very well. He said, "You've got to let go." Well, I just don't let go very well. But as we practiced together, as I learned to trust, as I felt him building his knowledge, his skill into me, as I felt him drawing out of me an ability that I did not know I had, I was able to completely relax as he wrapped his big arms around me. I was able to completely relax as I held the golf club, the putter, and I was able to allow his motion, his direction to flow through me until putting, until driving became a fluid motion for me. Now, gradually, he would back away from me because, see, he had built into me skill. He had drawn out of me ability, but he was never far from earshot saying, "Now, John, remember that we don't do that. John, good follow through, good eye." He was always with me to guide me, to correct me, to enable me, to draw ability out of me. I loved those years I spent with Hap and others playing golf. He gave me a sense of victory. And I really enjoyed learning to play golf. Hap was a great coach for my golfing life. This morning I'd like to introduce you to a great coach for your spiritual life. And his name is the Holy Spirit. Our text this morning is from John chapter 14. And I invite you to open your Bibles with me. Jesus is teaching in some final days with his disciples before he gives his life for you and me on the cross. Jesus is aware that there is anxiety among the disciples about his imminent departure. They had grown to be dependent upon him. They loved being with him. He drew out ability in them. He gave them confidence and security. He gave them a mission. But Jesus knew he was going to be crucified and risen. He knew that he would ascend to the Father. He knew that he would spend eternity at the right hand of the Father. And so he makes the disciples an incredible promise. John chapter 14 and beginning in verse 15, hear these words of promise. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate." If you've got your Bibles open there, please circle that word advocate. It is key, critical in our understanding of the Holy Spirit. He will give you an advocate for what purpose, Jesus says? To help you and to be with you forever. He names this advocate the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him how? Because he lives with you and he will be in you. Jesus goes on to say, "I will not leave you as orphans." My great fear is that for too many Methodists, smart, well-trained, biblically grounded, that we are not Trinitarians. My great fear is that we're Binitarians. Trinitarian means three, Binitarian means two. What do I mean by that? Well, I know a lot of people that talk about God the Father, the Creator, the majestic one who spoke and the world came into being. I know a lot that talk about Jesus Christ, the unique divine Son of God. He gave his life for us on the cross. He is our intercessor between heaven and earth. He's the one that pays for our sins through the blood of the cross and makes a relationship with the Father possible. And then it's as though the formula ends. God and Jesus. God and Jesus. The problem with God and Jesus is that's an incomplete formula. Why? Because God's work of creation is essentially done. The heavens and the earth. The beauty of creation. The work of the cross is done. That time and space in 33 AD when Jesus was hung from the cross and he said, "Father, forgive them," when the Lamb of God became for us our source of salvation. Creation and redemption are fixed points in time. The promise and the power of the Holy Spirit is this: taking all that God has done and making it real for us. The power of creation and recreation, the power of forgiveness and restoration, making it real for us, and then giving us a mission in a broken world. Too many of us have become afraid of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is for those guys on TV. The Holy Spirit is for those Christians across town. It's been made difficult for some of us because in the traditional language of the church, we refer to the Holy Spirit as the Holy Ghost. Well, I go back to the 60s and 70s watching cartoons on Saturday morning and I immediately think of Casper. This force that just sort of hovers around. Some have made the Holy Spirit out to be more like a goblin, one who frightens, one who scares. The Holy Spirit is neither a ghost or a goblin. The Holy Spirit is God. And I believe for most of us here, if not for all of us here, the next great chapter in our spiritual growth as a born-again believer will come when we invite the Holy Spirit to overshadow us and to fill us with His presence. Now, let me be clear. If you are a baptized believer, if a Christian minister has ever baptized you with water in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit already indwells you. That's not up for debate. The issue is not whether the Holy Spirit indwells you, but rather if you have given the Holy Spirit permission to fill you. That is a point of great spiritual growth for all of us when we can say, "Come, Holy Spirit, our hearts inspire and lighten us with celestial fire." The Holy Spirit, in reading the Bible from Genesis to maps, has at least 30 descriptors. And I've gone through and studied each one of these and become more excited, more longing for the Holy Spirit when I see how God intends the Holy Spirit to be the person of power and guidance and direction and encouragement for us. The Greek word is paraclete. Would you say that with me? Paraclete. And in John 14 and in other places, depending on the translation you're reading, John 14, 16, the word paraclete is defined as advocate, counselor, comforter, encourager, helper, and friend. The paraclete fulfills these incredible promises and functions of God in the Bible. The paraclete is the one that grants us access to God, the one who anoints us for service, the one who assures us of our salvation, the one who is the author of Scripture. All Scripture is God-breathed, Timothy says. The one who calls us and commissions us for service. The Holy Spirit is the one who cleanses us, convicts us of sin, creates the image of Christ in us, empowers us for mission, fills us to overflowing with the power of Christ. He is the one who gives gifts. He glorifies Christ. He guides us in the truth. He helps us in our weakness. He indwells believers. He inspires prayer. He intercedes between heaven and earth for us. He interprets Scripture. He leads us, liberates us, molds our character, produces fruit, raises the dead, regenerates our spirits, sanctifies our souls, seals our eternal destination, strengthens us through the trials of life, teaches us the truth of the gospel, testifies to the power of the risen Lord, grants us victory over the flesh, and truly sets us free as our great worship leader, worship enabler, that we might truly experience God in worship and in truth. In short, the paraclete is the one God sends to every believer to aid us on our spiritual journey. I think of the paraclete as I think of my dear friend Hap, who has now gone on to be with the Lord. Through my transaction of faith, the one who has come to overshadow me and wrap his arms around me. The one to take my hands and put them to use. The one to plant my feet safe and secure. The one to lead me if I will let him, if I will let go, if I will grant him permission to give me the fluidness of faith, the follow through of faith, the victory of faith. That's the power and the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, I like that word paraclete, and if my Greek teacher at Emory heard this, my A-minus, yes, it was just an A-minus, my A-minus would be quickly called back and an F put in place. But ever since I've learned the word paraclete, I've thought of a pair of cleats. Any of you ever played the sport that requires cleats, you know, either rubber cleats or metal cleats? I'm thinking of golfers who have metal cleats on their good-looking shoes. What are those cleats for? Those cleats allow the golfer to plant his feet firmly in the ground that will hold him and give him stability, firmly against the wind that comes, firmly to keep him from being off balance, a firm planting. If you're playing soccer or another sport where cleats are required, cleats enable you to dig in deeply and get traction for the forward movement. There's no slipping and sliding. Why? Because you're digging deeply into that which will hold and guide and provide a way forward. Please don't tell my Greek teacher, my Greek professor, that I equate the paraclete with a pair of cleats. But I have found in my life the overwhelming and filling power of the Holy Spirit doing that for me. Taking all that God has done in creation, all that Christ has done in redemption, and making the power of God available for me. I wonder, have you come to the place as a baptized believer in whom the Holy Spirit already dwells to give the Holy Spirit dominion in your life? You see, Hap, my golf coach, could not really help me as long as I was determined to do it my way. Hap, my golf course, could not do anything to develop skill and bring ability out of me as long as I was uptight and fighting him. It was not until I ultimately said, Hap, have your own way with me. And I relaxed because I could trust him. I relaxed because I knew his incredible skill. And I relaxed when I realized he was bringing that skill out of me. He was building ability into me. And I was able to relax in his presence and develop the character of a good golfer. I long for you to experience the overshadowing power of the Holy Spirit to convict. You know, we've got some habits that need to be dealt with. Amen? I had some really bad stance habits. My hips just wouldn't do what they were supposed to do. I needed to get right about my stance. The Holy Spirit convicts, calls, empowers, guides, is that constant source of encouragement, of reminding us about the promise of Christ, reminding us about our calling, giving us the courage to stand firm in the midst of life's greatest challenges with a sense of victory. The paraclete, the advocate, the counselor, the comforter, the encourager, the friend. I'd really like to say to you that I turned out to be a great golfer, but I did not. Why? Every church I go to begins to grow. And I get distracted by that. Hap would call me and say, let's go to the golf course. We're ready for another lesson. The clubs are in the trunk. I mean, I had free access to Callaway Gardens anytime I wanted to go. But no, Hap, I've got to run to LaGrange or to Columbus to go to the hospital. No, Hap, I've got to get ready for a meeting. No, Hap, somebody's upset with me because we moved something in the parlor and I've got to deal with that spiritual crisis of placement of that object in the parlor. You know, important spiritual stuff. Hap kept inviting me, but I resisted him. All that he could do for me and bring out of me, I resisted. Then because I resisted his invitations, I stopped practicing. I stopped the stance. I stopped the fluid move. And the gift that was in me was wrapped up and put on the shelf again. Oh, how I regret missing those opportunities to be with Hap and truly develop the gift of golf. I wonder how many of us as believers have tasted something of the power of the Holy Spirit. The liberation, the freedom, the conviction, the spiritual productivity the sense of connectedness with God, the sense of spiritual power to pray faith into the lives of others, to lay on hands and see miracles worked. But we become distracted. We get caught up in our own stuff. The Holy Spirit calls us. The Holy Spirit promises to be with us, but we resist Him. We stop practicing the spiritual disciplines that give us a firm foundation, that give us a fluid swing, and suddenly, spiritually, we become atrophied. And suddenly, though we're believers, we're baptized, we've made a commitment to Christ, our faith has turned cool. It's more of a duty than a delight. We no longer see the spiritual power of the Holy Spirit of God working through us because we have resisted Him. He dwells in us, but He doesn't have dominion in us. Somewhere He lives in us, but we haven't given Him permission to live through us. Why would we be content to talk about God and Jesus when the present tense reality of God, the present tense power of God, the present tense majesty of God is waiting to fill us? If we will only say, "Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love." I believe today could be the first day in writing the greatest chapter of your spiritual life, built on the gift of God's creative power in you, built on the gift of Christ's redeeming promise in you, the power of God coming alive through you and making you an agent of grace and transformation in the world. I am so sorry that I resisted Hap. And I am so sorry at times in my life I've resisted the Holy Spirit. I don't want to resist Him ever again. I wonder, are you ready to trust Him? To invite Him to fill you? To relax and give Him control and dominion over your life? To overshadow you with His presence, to develop in you His power, and to see through you the evidence of His love. That's what I'm praying for today. And I'd like to invite you to pray with me. Have Thine own way, Lord, have Thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after Thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still. Come, Holy Spirit, kindle in us the fire of Your love. Come, Holy Spirit, grant us the gift of Your presence. We long to surrender to You. We long to be filled with You. We long to know the power of Your presence. We long to put on that pair of spiritual cleats that gives us the confidence to stand firm, that gives us the confidence to run the race with perseverance. We long to hear Your voice in every thought, in every decision, in every relationship. We long to be Your light in a darkened world. Thank You for the promise that You already dwell in us. Now, great God, by a conscious decision of faith, we say, fill us, Holy Spirit. fill us to overflowing, we pray. For the sake of Christ. Amen. I wonder what keeps you from letting Him have His way with you? What keeps you from answering His call? What is the barrier of resistance? I delight to pray with you each week, pray for you. When you share your heart with me on the back of the connection cards, I feel connected with you. I see you in my mind. I wonder if it would help this week if you would share on the back of your connection card, confidentially, privately, that source of resistance in you keeps you from letting go and letting Him have His way in you. I'd love to pray for you this week and see the power of the Holy Spirit overshadow you as He did St. Mary. Birth in you and bring out of you the great potential for a life that really matters, a life of real mission, a life of real service. I'd like to see the Holy Spirit filling you from the soles of your feet to the very top of your heads. I'd like to see a pair of cleats tied firmly on you as you run the race of life. I'd like for you to underline as your memory verse this week, John 14:16. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate, another comforter, another counselor, another helper, another friend who will be with you and in you. As the music plays, I invite you to complete your connection card. Fold it over because it is simply nobody's business. And after worship, after the concluding music and fellowship, I invite you to leave it with an usher as you leave the worship center. How I will delight in praying with and for you. Receive now the benediction, God's good word for your life. The seal and the sign of our sure salvation, the cross of Jesus Christ. And now, as always, my friends, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you, His healing and approving smile. And best yet, give you perfect peace. I claim this now in the name of the one true God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.